بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading concerning those things which are harmful for our iman, and that is customary innovations, those things which are regarded to be part of deen, or it is acted upon as if now it is part of deen, which are all bid'at, which we should abstain from. Previously we read concerning the beard, to shave, to trim, or to fold up the beard. We continue to have funny hairstyles, to lengthen the moustache, to keep the trousers below the ankles, to adopt the dressing of the opposite sex. To hang and suspend carpets from walls and ceilings merely for decoration and beautification. To use black dye. To practice witchcraft and cast spells. To regard something as bad light, as bad luck. To tattoo the body. To pluck out white hairs. To embrace or shake hands with ghair mahrams, those people with whom hijab is necessary, and even with family members with lust, to embrace or shake hands with any ghair mahram or even family members with lust is not permissible. To make a male wear saffron dyed clothes, this is also not correct. To play chess, cards, etc., these types of amusements and play is not permissible. And to recite incantations that wazaif contrary to the Sharia, that which Sharia has not shown us, to recite those things as wazaif is not permissible. These are all customary innovations. There are many other similar incorrect beliefs, customs, and innovations. These have to be mentioned to serve as an example. One should judge other customary beliefs by looking at these. So approximately 50 we have did, but it is not confined to 50. There are many others. These have been mentioned by way of example. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 21st para was recited. The 21st para, the first three rukus, is a continuation of Suratul Ankabut. The first verse of the 21st para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka minal kitabi wa aqimis salah." Concerning this verse, the ulama have explained that a very brief but a very comprehensive and extremely effective formula has been mentioned here for the islah of a person, spiritual reformation, as well as spiritual upliftment, and a way to get proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been addressed to directly here, but the message is for all of us, and that is, do these two things. That is, utlu ma uhiya, recite, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that from the kitab which has been revealed to you from the Quran and Majid. And the second one is, wa aqimis salah, and establish salat. Iqamati salah means, and entails perfection of salat, that to perform salat with all its conditions and with all its requisites, and as well as its etiquettes, keeping in mind the concentration in salat, sincerity also, and as well as humility. All these things constitute iqamati salat. So recitation of the Quran and Majid and perfection and establishment of salat is very effective in the islah of a person, as well as to spiritually uplift oneself and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great effect and the peculiar effect of salat, and this is conditional to iqamati salat, that salat has got the effect that it stops from all types of indecency and all type of evil. So the higher the level of iqamati salat, which was just mentioned now, what is iqamati salat? Not just to be regular with salat and just performing salat without taking into consideration its etiquettes, its requisites, etc. So if salat is performed correctly, then its effect will definitely be, it will stop a person from all types of indecency and all types of evil. So if a person is regular with salat, but it does not stop him from getting involved in indecency and evil, then the problem and the flaw is in his own salat. He has to see and check his salat, whether whether in reality he is now performing his salat correctly or not. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that the dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lifeblood of the universe. Without the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this entire universe will be brought to an end. We know qiyamah will only occur when nobody is left in the world to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lifeblood of this universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere mentions, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, that remember me and I will remember you. So what greater honor can a person get by that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also remembers him in the gatherings of the angels, that person who is now punctual and who is always, his tongue is moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning salat itself also, it's mentioned elsewhere in the Quran and Majid, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, that establish salat for my dhikr. So the salat itself is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. From the hadith we understand that the most virtuous of actions is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is most effective in saving a person from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we constantly remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that when you have to debate and argue with the Ahl Kitab, do it in a way which is the best way. In other words, in the most appropriate way, where your standpoint is also put forward, but in a way where you don't insult and you don't take that person further away from the deen of Islam. Rather, the objective should be that put forward the truth in front of him in a way where he is attracted to Islam. So the method of now arguing and debating and expressing your viewpoint toward the Ahl Kitab and those who are the Kuffar is also mentioned here. Guidelines have been given. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great proof of the truthfulness of the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you, before the revelation of the Quran and Majid, you did not recite any book, nor could you write with your hands. Otherwise, the people of Batil, they would have fallen into doubt. They would have then have doubt. In other words, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the revelation of the Quran and Majid, you were completely unlettered and untutored. And if you were not so, if you were proficient in writing and reading, then there could have been some basis for the doubts of the people of Batil, that you had authored the Quran and Majid from your own side and wrongfully attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udh billah. But this was not so, because you were born and brought and you grew up amongst these polytheists and mushrikeen of Makkah, and they know very well that you never had any type of education. You are completely unlettered and untutored, yet you present the Quran and Majid in front of men from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in which no man can match any verse of the Quran and Majid, which is in itself the proof that it is a direct revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is not man authored. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the kuffar that how they foolishly, they actually demanding to see the punishment which they had been promised if they don't bring iman, and وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ, they hurry you concerning the bringing of that punishment which they had been promised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّى, if it was not for an appointed time, then the punishment would have come to them now immediately. But in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time did not decree that the punishment must come to them. But when it comes, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَيَأْتِيَنَّهُمْ بَغْتَةً, it will come all of a sudden in a condition that they don't even perceive. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning those people who are in such an environment where they cannot practice on the deen of Islam and their life and property is in jeopardy and in danger because of the environment, hostile environment around them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadiyal ladina amanu, O my bandas who have brought iman, my earth is very vast and extensive. If you cannot, in your place where you are residing, practice on the deen of Islam and there is danger to your life, etc., then why don't you make hijrat, migrate and go to such a land where with ease and comfort and without any danger you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah ta'ala mentions that normally at the time of hijrat, which is no small sacrifice, but normally two things stop a person from making hijrat. One is because he has fear for his life, and the other is he is worried about his livelihood. That if I'm going to make hijrat, what is going to happen? I will die in a foreign place, far away from my nation. What is going to happen? And how am I going to feed myself? All my means of acquiring livelihood is in my place of residence. If I leave from here, how am I going to set myself up? Allah Ta'ala gives answers to both. Allah Ta'ala says, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." That whoever you are, wherever you are going to taste of death. There is no way anybody can escape death. So that should not be a deterrent and an impediment from making hijrat for the pleasure and sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one, Allah ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا. That so many animals and creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't carry with them their own sustenance. They have full trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't store up any provisions for the next day also. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu yarzuquha wa iyyakum. Allah ta'ala provides sustenance for them and as well as for you. So regard the provision of sustenance as a direct gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, as mentioned in front also, Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah ta'ala gives more or gives less to whomsoever he wants from his bandas. This is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not dependent on the means through which you acquire your sustenance, whether it is employment, whether it is your occupation, whether it's your business, or whether it's farming or whatever else through which you outwardly acquire your risk. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides. May Allah ta'ala grant us the firm conviction concerning this, that Allah ta'ala is our sole provider. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the temporary life of this dunya and what is this worldly life. Over and over throughout the Quran and Majeed, Allah Ta'ala emphasizes this point, that this worldly life is not your objective. It is lahu wa la'ibun. It is a type of, it is your amusement and play. Wa inna ad-dara al-akhirata lahiya al-hayawan. The life of the hereafter, that is the actual life. So therefore, the demand of intelligence is that a person involves and occupies himself with those things which will be, which will benefit him in the everlasting life of the hereafter. Thereafter, the great folly and ingratitude of the people, of the polytheists, is mentioned. Allah Ta'ala, by way of example, says that when they board a ship, and the ship comes into difficulty, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They only call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't call to any of the gods in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but when we rescue them and bring them safely to land, then they ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worship others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that this is the height of ingratitude. لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ. This what they do is ingratitude from them for what we have granted them. And وَلِيَتَمَتَّعُوا. It is so that they continue enjoying the worldly life, and they don't want to be confined to any restrictions by accepting Islam and only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then towards the end of the surah, Allah ta'ala mentions the verse, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for our cause, we will guide them to our paths, our ways. Allah ta'ala will open up many, many doors of hidayat and guidance for them. Jihad, technically which is in this word وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُ means all those things which are hurdles and impediments for one's deen and for the upliftment of deen and for the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reign supreme. They are three. One is the nafs, one is shaitan, and then they are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to strive against all these enemies. First of all our nafs, and then shaitan, and then the enemies of Islam. The concerning jihad, we should also keep in mind that the objective of jihad is not to widen the kingdom or the rule of Islam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word must reign supreme. That is the actual objective. The ulama give the example that if a person has any of his limbs in a condition where if it is not amputated or where if it is not cut off, then it will affect the rest of the body. Similarly understand jihad, that these people, the enemies of Islam, they are obstructing the progress of Islam. And they are obstructing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word must reign supreme. So, through jihad, as if that limb of the body is being amputated, which is an obstruction for the progress of the rest of the body. So this is now how jihad has to be explained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions clearly that those who strive for our cause, then we will open up the doors of hidayat and guidance for such people. The next surah is Surah Ar-Rum. This is a Makki surah. Here also the fundamentals of deen have been explained. And in the first two or three verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great prediction which then came true. And that was that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were two so-called superpowers. That was the Persian and the Roman empires. The Romans, they were Christians by belief. And the Persians were fire worshippers and polytheists by belief. And in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Persians, they inflicted a severe defeat upon the Romans. Such a severe defeat that there was no hope, any type of hope that the Romans will ever recover their strength, and there was no hope that they will ever then in future become victorious over the Persians again. The polytheists of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, because they were mushrikeen, they sided with the Persians. And the Muslimin, they favored, whenever there were battles between the two, the Muslims favored the Romans, because they were Christians, they were the Ahl Kitab, they had belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, etc. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned that the Romans have been defeated, but in a few years' time, fi bid'i sinin. The word bid'un refers to a number between 3 and 9. In that time and period, they will then be victorious. When these verses were revealed, the mushrikeen started mocking and jeering at the Muslims, that what type of Quran and Majid you got, which is prophesizing and predicting that the Romans will again be victorious over the Persians. There's no way, they have been completely defeated, they've got no more strength left. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it, that within a space of 7 years, 7 years from the time of the revelation of these verses, just at the time when the Muslims were also victorious in Badr, Hijrat had in the meantime taken place, and the Romans then conquered the Persians, and the prediction of the Quran and Majid came through. One of the reasons for the Quran and Majid being the miraculousness of the Quran and Majid is that many predictions have been made in the Quran and Majid. One of them is this, which is mentioned in the first few verses of Surah Ar-Rum. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many of his creations, that if man ponders over the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will recognize the existence, the tawheed, and the qudrat, and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the end of the second ruku of this verse, of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three verses, فَسُبْحَانَ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. Till the end, there are three verses from verses 17, 18 and 19. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning these three verses, that if a person recites these three verses in the morning and the evening, then if he recites it in the morning, then all his deficiencies and shortcomings of the ibadat of the night. This will be recompensated by reading these three verses. And if he reads it at night, then all the shortcomings and deficiencies in the ibadat of the day will be recompensated for. So we should try and read these three verses, the other verses number 17, 18, 19, morning and evening. Who can say that the ibadat is of a perfect nature? Definitely there are shortcomings and deficiencies. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam used to recite these verses also, and the Mufassirin explain it is for this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning him, wa Ibrahimul ladhi waffa, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was such who fulfilled whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's injunctions and commandments was, he fulfilled them to the highest level. Thereafter Allah ta'ala again mentions many of his signs of his great qudrat. Amongst them Allah ta'ala mentions concerning the wives which Allah ta'ala has blessed, the spouses which Allah ta'ala has blessed men with, and the objective is through nikah litaskunu ilayha, to get peace and comfort through these women. And Allah ta'ala says, Allah ta'ala places love and compassion amongst them. Love manifests itself in the early stages of the nikah when the couple are still young. Love is that thing which keeps them together and binds them. And towards the latter portion of the life, it is rahmat and mercy and compassion for one another, which makes itself manifest, through which they get solace and comfort with one another. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the variations of languages and the variation of the complexion of people. This is also amongst the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From one father we have all come, Adam alayhi salam. But there is a variation in complexion, some dark, some lighter in complexion, together with the different languages which are spoken. These are all, Allah Ta'ala says, ayat. These are all signs of our great qudrat. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the day and night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the sleep which Allah Ta'ala blesses us with, which takes out all our tiredness, and many other signs of the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning man that when we make him taste of our mercy and we give him good conditions, farihu biha, he becomes boastful. But the moment we afflict him with conditions of adversity, idahum yaqnatun, he becomes despondent and he turns away and he turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should not be the case. All conditions are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning the fasad and corruption on the earth, Allah ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, that these conditions of adversity on land and on sea is because of what people have did, because of the a'mal, because of the actions. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that Allah Ta'ala makes them taste some of their actions. Allah Ta'ala does not bring bad conditions for all our bad actions. If that was so, none of us would have been existent also. We would have been wiped out with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just some of our misdeeds, because of that Allah ta'ala makes us taste conditions of adversity, so that it jolts us back to our senses that what we are doing is the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to rectify ourselves. Another thing we have to keep in mind, that at conditions of adversity afflict even the pious people and even those who are the Allah walas, but those conditions of adversity for them is a cause and a means for the raising of their ranks, not because of their bad deeds. Even the Anbiya alayhimus salam were afflicted with conditions of adversity, but normally whatever conditions of adversity are there is because of our misdeeds. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the condition of man. Person should reflect that his condition, what is his condition, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. Allah ta'ala says, we have created you min dhu'fin, from a condition of weakness, where a person was born as a completely weak infant, can't even talk, can't even move, can't even eat, can't even speak, can't even walk. But Allah Ta'ala says that after that condition of weakness, we substitute it with condition of strength, where a person then starts becoming, he becomes a young man, and then he's in a condition of strength. But then Allah Ta'ala says that جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفَ وَشَيْبَةٍ, After that condition of strength, we again change his condition to that of weakness and old age. So a person should not become arrogant and proud, particularly in his days of strength and youth, that there is nobody like me. Person should understand what were his humble beginnings, and if Allah Ta'ala gives him life, what will be his condition in the future. And in that way, Allah Ta'ala says, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. We create how we want. In other words, these are how we create men. And previously we had, it was also explained that these different stages of human life is also the signs of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to make us understand that this world is a temporary world and we have to leave this world one day. The next surah is Surah Luqman. It's also a Makki surah. Besides Allah ta'ala mentioning his great creations, Allah ta'ala mentions the advices of Luqman alayhi salam to his son. Concerning Luqman alayhi salam, the majority of the ulama of the opinion that he was not a Nabi, he was a pious banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the nephew of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala granted him a long life also, right up till the time of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he was still living. And concerning Luqman alayhi salam, it is mentioned that his silence was contemplation and his words were always advice. Allah ta'ala graded him, that's why he's called Luqman the wise. His words were full of wisdom. Once somebody asked Luqman alayhi salam that how is it that you have got this great bounty of wisdom and piety which Allah ta'ala has blessed you with. He mentioned three things. Number one, truthfulness in speech. Number two, discharging of trust faithfully. And number three, abstention from all futile words and actions, which is a very, in other words, with these three things, particularly the last one, Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with this great quality of wisdom. Allah Ta'ala mentions the advices he gave to his son, which are a variety of advices concerning the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay away from any type of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be obedient and to be kind and gentle and serve one's parents. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some advices concerning social and community structures that do the work of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. In any conditions of adversity, remain patient and persevere. And don't be proud. Don't turn your face away from people out of pride. And don't walk on the earth with arrogance, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't like such people. And moderate your walk also, not too fast, not too slow. And lower your voice. Don't raise your voice, because the worst of voices and sounds is the sound of a donkey. That person who raises his voice, he mustn't think so he's pushing his weight around. Actually, he is sounding like a donkey, in the words of the Quran and Majid. Therefore, a person should be also careful as to with what tone he speaks also. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the surah mentions some of the, which is called Mafatihul Ghayb, that the knowledge of these things is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is concerning Qiyamah, the sending of the rains, and what is in the wombs of the mothers. Doesn't mean that today with technology we come to know the gender of the child through x-rays and sonars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that Allah ta'ala alone knows what is in the wombs of the mother. That gender is not just what maximum we know is the gender of the child, perhaps, and that also not with certainty. But what is the aqaid of that child? What is his future? What will be his condition? What will be his behavior? How will he love? How long he will love? How much sustenance he will get? No x-ray machine can ever pick it up at any time till the day of Qiyamah. It is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth one is what a person will earn concerning his rosy and sustenance, and where a person will die. All these things are only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Sajda. Here also the fundamentals of deen have been explained, the veracity of and the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid, and that nobody's intercession can even override the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the conditions of the kuffar and the mu'mineen in the year after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those conditions in somewhat detail, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them in the year after. And in the next surah, Suratul Ahzab, it is a Madani surah, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many laws of Shariat, and also concerning some social etiquettes. More of them come in the 22nd para. That portion which was recited last night deals more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the battle of Ahzab, which is called the battle of the trench also, how the mu'mineen were faced with very difficult conditions. Allah ta'ala explains that also, هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, that the mu'mineen were put to a great test and they were violently shaken. So great was the danger. The kuffar had formed a coalition to once and for all try and wipe out Islam from the surface of the earth. And for that reason the Muslimin had to defend themselves. And where the danger was, they had to dig a trench in that direction to stop the invading forces from invading Madinatul Munawwara. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came with the mu'mineen. And eventually the kuffar, they were defeated and they had to go away unsuccessful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then towards in the last ruku mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that for you in the Rasul of Allah is an excellent and perfect example for those who have conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day and the last day, and those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example in every phase and every aspect of our lives. We have been given glad tidings by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is our duty that we follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything which he had shown us. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث بعثا قبل نجد فغنموا غنائم كثيرة وأسرع الرجعة, فقال رجل ممن لم يخرج, ما رأينا بعثا أسرع رجعة ولا أفضل غنيمة من هذا البعث. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ألا أدلكم على قوم أفضل غنيمة وأسرع رجعة؟ قوم شهدوا صلاة الصبح ثم جلسوا في مجالسهم يذكرون الله حتى طلعت الشمس, فأولئك أسرع رجعة وأفضل غنيمة. رواه الترمذي. حضرت عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه narrated, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd. This group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with the group said, we have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not show you such people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? They are those people who are present for Fajr Salah and thereafter remain in their places making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until sunrise. These people attain much more wealth in a much shorter period of time. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd. The group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with the group said, we have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not show you such a group, such a people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? They are those people who are present for the Fajr Salah, thereafter remain in their places making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until sunrise. These people attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time. This has been narrated by Tirmidhi. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. أنا جليس من ذكرني دل میں راہ ہو جائے ایک میدان ہوں تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدھر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا
إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
İlahi dil mein mere ghair ka asar na rahe siwaye tere kisi par meri nazar na rahe tu kar be khabar sari khabron se mujhko ilahi rahu ek khabardar tera
la ilaha illallah la ilaha illallah la ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
الہی عطا ہو ذرائے درد دل کے مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا
لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں اے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بڑھ کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں
لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس تا دم آخر ورد زبان میرے الہ